Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Glad to have you all here with us, joining us for episode 91 of the pod. As we move on from our discussions of the Acolyte, we're going to be moving right in today to our discussions, our early discussions about the next live-action Star Wars show. Yesterday's episode, as you might have inferred from the title of the episode, is all about Skeleton Crew, the show coming to a Disney Plus near you in the coming months. Excited to be talking about everything we know in regards to that show up to this point in today's episode. But before we get into that, I want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of the podcast, as well as all of our reactions to the latest Star Wars shows, including all of our reactions to the recent Star Wars show, The Acolyte. Again, those are available over on YouTube. Thank you to the 446 of you who are subscribed there. Additionally, you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, we would appreciate you leaving a five-star review on the podcast. It also allows the podcast to be more easily discovered by other people who love Star Wars as well. You can find Hoth Hangout on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Check us out on the socials. Additionally, down in the show notes of today's episode, you'll be able to find the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server. Check it out and see all that that has in store for you as well. And having said all of that, again, today's topic is Skeleton Crew. But before we hop into it, Joey, what's going on? How have you been, man?
Pretty good. I'm excited for this. I mean, I know we've been talking Acolyte for the last, 10 weeks or whatever it is. So it's going to be a nice change of pace to talk about just something else other than, you know, Manny Jacinto's arms or the confusion that we had through all of the Acolyte. I'm excited for to move on to other things. But real quick, thank you again to our guest last week that came by, if you didn't watch the episode. With Danny Fandoms and Laura from the Force Host podcast. Thanks again, guys, for hanging out with us last week and just tying that last bow on the Acolyte discussion.
Definitely, yeah. And looking forward very much to today's episode as well, moving from our great conversation we had with those two last week. And I did make the early promise off screen before we began recording to both you and Gibbo that we were going to finish this episode in 52 minutes or less, which means I've only got 49 more minutes to fulfill that promise. So
notice he said he has 49 more minutes.
Yeah, we wasting time mentioning it. Gibbo said, you're not wrong. Well, having said that, we've got a couple pieces of news to share today. First one, of course, is related to something that's near and dear to both you and I, and just kind of our gaming roots. Fall Guys is, of course, the game that, if I remember correctly, the game that we were both playing at the same time when we met one another, a game that we both enjoy. And you know, to this day, I still enjoy every time I play it. But a game that really, you know, defined like a big period of the time of our lives. And they have recently announced that they are releasing some new Star Wars skins. If you're watching the video version of the podcast, you can see what those look like on screen. But I'm telling you, the Darth Maul skin, the Yoda skin, the Princess Amidala skin, the R2-D2 skin, some pretty cool ones being added here in this, I guess, a Star Wars DLC. So the Darth Maul one is probably my favorite of the four, but fun to see. Yeah, and this is available at the time of this recording today. This was released July 30th, so head over to a Fall Guys store near you and pick up the latest Star Wars skins. Do you have a favorite of the four?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Darth Maul also. Padme is pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to be... I don't play it as much. I know you don't play like at all, but I still play it here and there. So I'll get my value out of them for sure.
Even though I haven't played Fall Guys in probably a good few months, this is something that would make me open the game and just, you know, buy these because, you know, it's Star Wars. I gotta pick it up. But check out a Fall Guys store near you for these cool new skins available now in the store. Next piece of news is kind of just switching, you know, topics entirely from Fall Guys and video games to an auction, which took place recently over the weekend, I believe. A Princess Leia, the bikini costume from Return of the Jedi movie, sold at an auction for $175,000, which is wild to me. The crazier part about this, after reading the article, is that this is not even the one that was in the movie. This is the one that was initially going to be in the movie, was deemed, I believe, by Carrie Fisher herself to be like not nearly comfortable enough to be something worn as part of the film. And so another iteration of the costume was designed to be more comfortable on set. And so this is the I believe, the first version that was supposed to be worn but never actually made it into the final film. Mm-hmm. Yet it still sold for almost $200,000. Kind of wild.
Yeah. And I think, you know, something like this is obviously still a part of the Star Wars, you know, production. So, yeah, maybe it was not what was the final product in Return of the Jedi. But this was worn by Carrie Fisher. This was, you know, tried on. I think that's it's called screen tested. I think that's what the term is for it. So they did try it. It didn't work out. And, you know, the fact that they somebody held on to this long and to sell it at this price. But like you said, imagine what the actual, you know, if the actual outfit that she wore in Return of the Jedi went to auction, who knows how much that one would bring in, because we know this is one of Leia's iconic costumes in all of Star Wars. So imagine the price tag on top of that.
Yeah, and I mean, to go with that, to that point, there was a model of a Y-Wing fighter that took on the Death Star in the original film. And that actually sold for $1.55 million. So it's just interesting to see, like, maybe that is a lot of value added. Just being in the film itself is like, oh, that's the one from the actual movie, as indicated by the price of this other Y-Wing model that was sold. So lots of Star Wars items on auction in recent days, and lots of money being paid up for those items in the process too.
Yeah, maybe we'll open up a PayPal and people can start donating to us to get the next Star Wars, I don't know, like, you know, paper plate that was used by somebody in the cast.
Yeah. Chewbacca or something. Chewbacca ate a meal on the side of the set between takes off of this plate. But anyways, yeah. So Princess Leia costume sells for $175,000 over the weekend. Just kind of indicative of the extreme prices that some Star Wars items will go for these days. So pretty interesting to see there. Last piece of news for today we want to share is that during the San Diego Comic-Con recently, there were lots of new announcements made about upcoming Star Wars publications, particularly kind of in the next 1 year period. The good majority of these actually are kind of surrounding the High Republic era. In fact, many of these were sort of centered on somewhat of the combination of the Acolyte and the High Republic era, sort of taking these characters like Vernestra Rowe, for example, that we saw in the Acolyte that was originally a High Republic character, and kind of expanding upon their character timeline between the end of Phase 3 of the High Republic and the beginning of the Acolyte. So the one you're seeing on screen now, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, is the adult novel that's being released in the next year. For those that don't know sort of how the High Republic releases work, typically there's either adult novels, young adult novels, or comic book series as sort of the big three sources or mediums of storytelling through that era. And so the adult novel that we're getting is about Vernestra Rowe, I believe about 20 years, if I remember correctly, before the time that the Acolyte takes place, which would also be, I don't know, probably roughly 15 to 20 years after the end of Phase 3. So somewhat pretty dead even between those two eras, and we'll get to see a more mature version of Vernestra Rowe, I would assume, but maybe not quite the cynical version that we ended up seeing in the Acolyte. But the book, of course, I don't know if I mentioned or not yet, but it is titled The Acolyte Wayseeker. And I don't think this has an official release date yet, but
yeah, a lot of them do not. Yeah.
Right. It seems like a lot of them generally are saying 2025, but then giving like not specific dates that they're being released. So this, of course, does fall under that category. Another one that was mentioned was actually a young adult novel to kind of be a companion to this adult novel. The young adult novel is going to be showcasing Yord and Jeki. Mm-hmm. And while there's sort of less specific information available on this entry into the series or into the High Republic, you know, era, this one does have a somewhat more specific release date of July 2025. Mm-hmm. So coming a whole year from now, but cool to see that they're going to be expanding on these characters like Yord and Jeki, who, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Acolyte, kind of met an untimely end in the mm-hmm. series. So, and this is even true with other versions of comic books that they're coming out with, and new High Republic comics are going to be showcasing Kel Naka as well. So, you know, Yord and Jeki being showcased in the young adult novel, mm-hmm. Kel Naka getting featured in some of the new High Republic comics, which are set to be coming out in February of 2025. He's even getting his own, what's referred to as a one-shot comic, which is going to, I would assume, more or less be kind of an origin story of Kel Naka, or at mm-hmm. least I'm hoping that's what it ends up being, but pretty cool to see there as well. And then, of course, you also have some other, you know, story things that they're sharing, but more so on the art side of things. The Art of Star Wars, The High Republic, Volume 2, which is mainly covering art from the second and third phases of The High Republic, will be released sometime in the next year as well. Along with The Art of the Acolyte, that one is going to be released in July of 2025. And Joey, did you see Vernestra Rowe action figure mm-hmm. is also part of this announcement? You going to be picking it up?
I would have, but that lightsaber does not look like a whip at all. So I'm going to have to pass. You know, it definitely needs to be true to the form. I'm gonna take a look at these. I know they announced a couple other figures over at Comic-Con. But yeah, the Vernestra Rowe one looks pretty good.
What if it's made of like those hands you used to get at like arcades for like yeah. like five tickets or something that you
kind
like,
of like slime almost?
Yeah, what if that's like the lightsaber?
Okay, maybe I'll do it then.
I don't know. Yeah, that would be kind of difficult to figure out how to make a whip like that. But in addition to some of these other High Republic releases, they've also announced they're coming out with an updated Star Wars Encyclopedia, which is always something I love getting my hands on if I'm able to. There's an upcoming Battle of Jakku comic series, which is something I definitely did not see on the horizon, and I'm mm-hmm. not sure how that's going to go, but it's titled Insurgency Rising. Clearly, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, we're going to be seeing what looks to be Luke, Leia, and Han showcased in this comic book series as well. So kind of a fun inclusion of some original trilogy characters there with a planet which is mainly just known to us as a sequel trilogy planet. So kind of a cool crossing over of timelines in that regard. And we're also getting a prequel trilogy graphic novel. I mean, there is just all sorts of cool announcements mm-hmm. that have been shared. In addition to, man, look at that graphic art novel of Padme there.
It looks really good.
Yeah, to my knowledge, this one doesn't have a release date either. But I guess for the ones that don't have listed release dates, we can just expect them sometime in the next year. Oh, look at that. Okay, yeah, 12th of November. This is probably one of the few things on this article that does mm-hmm. have a specific release date. So this will just be out in what, like, 3 short months? Might have to be something we pick up and maybe do some
sort of... You put that on your wedding registry.
Yeah, I'm sure my fiance would be all about it.
Well, good, perfect.
I'm gonna sneak it on there.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty cool, though. I love the way that looks. And last but not least, there's going to be an Art of Star Wars Outlaws book as well. So it's cool mm-hmm. to see. I personally love looking at the stuff that's like the art of, you know, Return of the Jedi, the art of the prequel trilogy, the art of this and that, whatever, you know. I think it's really cool to see the concept art that leads up to the final product. So Star Wars Outlaws is also going to be having its own art book released as well. So if all of that just wasn't enough, I don't know what you're thinking, yeah. But that's so many cool things coming to.
I would like to just point out that we are just falling further and further behind of all this High Republic reading that we got to do.
Yeah, we're going to have to make that up somehow in the next, next 12 months. And Maybe that's our goal for like episode 200 of the podcast, like a full synopsis of everything High Republic. We could. That's a lot of novels and young adult novels that we'd have to read between now and then. But hey, I'm down for it if you are.
Let's do it.
All right. Well,
you're not planning anything in the next.
No, I don't know. I think I've got some time. Nothing on the horizon. Yeah. But yeah, so lots of cool pieces of news to get to share today. And having said that, the time has arrived for us to showcase some of the comments we've received recently here on the YouTube channel in particular. Episode 89 of the podcast was our very first ever live stream that we've done. So that was pretty special. Thank you again to all those of you who were with us 2 weeks ago for that episode 89 live stream. But we have two comments from that live stream we'd like to showcase. The first of which is from Spy on Sports, who said, "The most fun I've had talking about Star Wars in a long time. Thanks, fellas." It really was so fun, like being able to have that real-time interaction and, you know, incorporate questions as they were coming into the chat and be able to respond to them in real time. So another Hoth Hangout live stream may not be too far away at this point. A new one coming soon, hopefully. Be on the lookout for that. And thank you to Spy on Sports for the comment as well. Our second of those two live stream comments is from Lord Galvatron, who said, "Wish I was here for this episode live. Damn you, baseball. Nonetheless, awesome vid. Remember when this show was a murder mystery? Good times." Yeah, that lasted a whole, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
It continues. Anyway, not going to lie, if it was announced tomorrow that a season 2 was greenlit, I wouldn't be mad. I would be as surprised as a person possibly could possibly ever be, but I wouldn't be mad. If there are any more live episodes, hopefully I don't miss those. Yeah, and we fully plan to do, you know, more live episodes in the future. We had a really good experience with it and look forward to the next one. But I agree with the sentiment of that. I don't think I'd be mad if a season 2 got greenlit. I would just be very cautiously optimistic.
Yes. Perfect words for that. Yep.
Yeah. We have two other comments from last week's episode with Laura and Danny when we did the round table. Got to talk kind of our closing thoughts on the Acolyte. And so the first of those comments, of course, is from Spy on Sports once again, who says, "Thoughts. Watched on desktop for the first time in quite a while. Video quality is great, guys. Well done. Shout out Gibbo for the great video quality." Continued to say, "Why was Plagueis' hand camouflaged against the wall of the cave? Like almost the exact same color as his species part chameleon. I gotta be honest, I did not notice this as part of the episode, and now the next time I watch it, I'm going to be specifically looking for it." Right. But Spy on Sports, of course, also added a gratuitous dad joke for us, saying,
"Here we go.
This is great. Death Star employees watching the Acolyte. Oh, sure. Now Star Wars gets a visit from OSHA."
From OSHA. I like that.
Yeah. And kind of on that same note, he added, "Did you know that the twins' full names are Verosha and Meho Anasea? I believe they mentioned that in episode 3 for the first time in the flashback episode." But yeah, I definitely, if you would have asked me at the end of the season, "What are their full names?" I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
Yeah, same.
So, good
trivia for later, though.
I'm keeping it locked in for the next Hoth Hangout trivia episode. But thank you to Spy on Sports, Lord Galvatron, and Kid Caduceus for those comments this week. Leave a comment down below on today's episode.
We didn't do Kid Caduceus.
Oh, that's right. We do have one from Kid Caduceus. I almost left you out, Kid Caduceus. In reference to who we mentioned to bring on for the next Jedi Knights of the Round Table, Kid Caduceus said, "Well done. Bring us Witwer." For those that don't know, Witwer, of course, referring to Sam Witwer, the voice actor for none other than Darth Maul in the Clone Wars and Rebels. So, if that day we'll try to make it happen. No promises, but that would be pretty special if that actually does happen someday.
Does he have Twitter? I'm sure he has Twitter.
I bet you he does. Shoot him a little DM. We posed the question last week as well. Will there be a second season of The Acolyte? We posted it on the YouTube community tab as well as on Twitter. Over on YouTube, 73% of the vote saying no, with 27% saying yes. So the no's clearly outweighing the yeses on YouTube. And then when you go over to Twitter, there is an even bigger gap between the no's and the yeses, with 93% of votes. Well, except for the one on the one on the screen has a 50-50 percentage, but I believe the updated one reflects a 93-7. I don't know. Can we get a confirmation on that? It may be the case that the poll after being 93-7 went all the way to 50-50. Yeah, I don't know. It's looking like a 50-50 right now.
It does look like 50-50, yeah.
Twitter breaking the mold again with a 50-50 more optimistic split.
Yeah.
That's actually
surprising from Twitter. Wow.
Yeah, I will take it all back, Twitter. You are not pessimists. I take it all back. But I don't know. What do you think, Joey? Are we getting a second season? I think this was something we talked about in last podcast. But
I think we will. As much as it might have been divisive through the fandom, I still think that the story needs. I mean, the way they left it, I would be surprised that if they left it in that way. So I'm thinking it will, but I would also not be surprised if it didn't. So, you know, kind of like, I think that's pretty much everyone's sentiment is that they're not surprised either way. I mean, they'd be surprised either way, but they would be fine either way too.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm personally leaning towards yes, that it will.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with the tease of what happens in the eighth episode, it was probably enough to get it greenlit. Mm-hmm. But this feels like the type of show where if it has as much negative reception as it had about season one as it does with season two, I feel like it may stop after the second season. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm saying it will get a second season, not saying that will necessarily mean it's, you know, going to be great. But I think it'll probably get greenlit for a second season. Even in the midst of a lot of kind of the negative sentiment surrounding it. So
right.
That remains to be seen how, you know, Plagueis and all that's going to play out in Vernestra Row in the second season. But that's a conversation for a future time. The rest of today's episode is centered on Skeleton Crew with 30 minutes remaining, Joey, to hit our 52-minute cap.
All right, we got this.
Everything we know about Skeleton Crew up to this point is really not a ton when you put it all in context and perspective. Hey everyone, Ben from the future here, jumping in to let you know that in the 24 hours between when this podcast was recorded and when it was released, there was a huge amount of new information revealed about the release of Skeleton Crew. In an exclusive interview done with People Magazine, Jude Law revealed many new details, including an official release date for the show. Yes, we do officially know and can confirm that Skeleton Crew will be releasing on Disney Plus on December 3rd of this year. Jude Law went on in the article to express very high praise for his young co-stars in the show and explained that the best way to describe this show is simply joyful. Furthermore, character names in the show were officially confirmed in the exclusive with People magazine. Jude Law's character is named Jod Na Nawood, and then the four kids in the show are named Wim, KB, Neil, and Fern. Additionally, we also were able to confirm that a droid in the show is named SM-33, because of course, what would Star Wars be without a great droid companion? The article went on to state that there are also many Easter eggs hidden throughout the show, and concluded with a quote from the show's co-creator, John Watts, who said, "You don't have to know everything about Star Wars to enjoy the show. You can come into it completely fresh and enjoy the story. But if you do happen to be a Star Wars superfan, there's a lot for you." Anyways, just wanted to hop in briefly and provide you all with this awesome new information about the Skeleton Crew, particularly that it will be coming out December 3rd of this year. Now back to our regularly scheduled podcast.
A lot of kind of the early, you know, start of Skeleton Crew, I believe there was announcement that it was, you know, there was going to be this new set of shows and that it kind of just existed in the ether for a while. And then the first really big piece of news following that was in this May 2022 Vanity Fair article, where Jude Law was scheduled to headline the new Star Wars series, playing sort of the kind of the Han Solo sort of character in this show with it, the way it's being described. The article even goes on to refer to the show as a whole as a cross between like the Goonies and Stranger Things. I don't even really know what that means. But prior to this announcement, it was even being referred to as under the code name Grammar Rodeo. I mean, do you have any insight into what Grammar Rodeo means, Joey?
Yeah, from what I read, I believe it was a Simpsons reference where there was, I think that was a code name that either he used or something where they had basically the same type of thing. It was like some type of adventure. So I think that's where that's where that originally came from. So that's where, you know, the code was. I'm guessing if you had known that name, Grammar Rodeo, you probably could figure out at very least that this was going to be, you know, there were going to be some kids in this particular show.
Hmm. Yeah. And speaking to the kids, sort of this announcement came out officially at Celebration Anaheim in 2022, which is when we found out really what the meat of the show is about. You know, the story is about a group of kids, roughly 10 years old, from this tiny planet who accidentally get lost in a Star Wars galaxy. And essentially, this show is going to be the story of their journey trying to find their way home. But kind of the interesting caveat about that is that even though they announced the show as the show about these four kids, they specifically mention in the announcement that it's not for kids. I mean, what is it that you think they're trying to get across there? Like that there's going to be, I don't know, more adult themes, or what are we hinting at here? The fact that it's not for kids, getting some like Clone Wars vibes almost.
Right. I mean, if you look at the comparison, maybe not Goonies so much, but Stranger Things, not really for kids. You know, if you ever watch that show, it's sure it is, you know, the cast is primarily, you know, preteens and all that. So, but because of the content of it, I mean, it was a pretty scary show, like early on, and gory at some point. So I don't know if it's going to be gory necessarily, but it's definitely going to have these, you know, more adult themes. It's not going to be Jedi Young Adventures. That's for sure. But I think that it's going to be a lot more, like I said, adult themes, a lot more. I don't know if we're going to see a lot more blood or a lot more gore necessarily, but just the things that they're going to talk about. I don't know if they're going to go into like how deep like Andor got as far as like, you know, politics and things like that. But, you know, I would almost also think that you're going to see like from maybe like a parent's perspective, like of these kids, they'll be like, oh, where's Tommy? You know, and, you know, just kind of see that from that angle as well. So, kind of like, I can't think of any TV shows, but yeah, just basically not going to be just like your animated series that you're kind of expecting, like Jedi Young Adventures or anything like that.
Right, somewhere definitely more along the line of adult themes that aren't present in Jedi Young Adventures, you and I's favorite show, right?
Yes, we watched all of them.
The show also going, Skeleton Crew being taking place during the same era, you know, following Return of the Jedi. I believe it's supposed to be taking place in roughly 9 ABY, which is the same time period, you know, that Mandalorian takes place and Book of Boba Fett and Ahsoka, kind of that whole Mandoverse era as it's sort of being referred to the past few years. And so the big thing, of course, with the show, the big announcement piece, which came out back then in 2022, other than the basic plot of the show and kind of the time period, is that Jude Law is headlining it, which is super cool because I feel like Jude Law is going to fit in nicely to the Star Wars universe. Like I kind of just look at him as an actor and I'm like, yeah, I see it. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him in this role. And I gather that it's going to be somewhat of like a mentorship role in some way or another to these kids in the show. Not exactly sure what that's going to look like, considering sort of the sparse details we have about the show. But I don't know. Like this show was definitely like the least on my radar of anything that we knew about a few years ago. And I think just not only Star Wars, but just any shows or maybe just life in general, whenever the bar feels like lower or the expectations feel lower, I feel like it, like things usually exceed the expectations when the bar is not as high. And I think it is fair to say that the bar for Skeleton Crew is lower than the bar For the Acolyte or for Obi-Wan or for Ahsoka. Like, it's not, you know, this name brand thing that we know about, or this huge time period, which is going to be, you know, put into live action for the first time. It's about a group of people who we haven't seen in live action, who we don't really know anything about. And so it just kind of has the freedom and flexibility to create this new story. And with that, kind of set the expectation of, this is something new, and we're creating our expectations for it as we go. So that actually makes me really excited for it, because I think it's probably going to exceed the expectations I have for it. And maybe not. Maybe that's not the case, as we'll find out kind of at the end of the podcast. There's some evidence that might, you know, indicate information contrary to that as well. But I don't know. Personally, I'm pretty optimistic about this show, just because I think the bar feels more achievable, or, you know, able to even pass or surpass that bar. So the interesting thing about the Acolyte kind of moving forward in the timeline to, you know, the process of beginning the filming for the show, this show has been done filming for about a year and a half. They wrapped filming on the Acolyte, or excuse me, did I say the Acolyte earlier? The Skeleton Crew. See, my brain is still in Acolyte mode.
You got to transition. You got to get out of way, get away from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Skeleton Crew. They wrapped filming for Skeleton Crew about a year and a half ago, in January of 2023. And so I guess my first thought I have when I hear that is like, what happened to make us not get this show yet? I mean, do you have any thoughts in that realm, Joey?
I was wondering if it was just how everything else was scheduled throughout the year, because obviously it could have gone out. I am no professional or expert on how productions are run. You know, I'm assuming there would be post-production work that would need to be done after filming has commenced. I would assume that there would have to be some reshoots, things like that. You know, I don't know the normal timeline of all that, but I would have assumed maybe like half a year. I think 6 months after that would seems like a reasonable amount of time for all that to happen. But right in the middle of that is Acolyte. So you're not going to be running Acolyte, Skeleton Crew at the same time. Now, when it was originally announced in Anaheim, Celebration Anaheim in 2022, they did say at that time that they were expecting for it to release in the next year, which would have been 2023. You know, right. So last year, you know, when it commenced, when it was all done, January 2023, when it was all done. So I guess my timing's wrong. It should have been last summer, right? It should have been last summer that it was supposed to be coming out, if you have 6 months after that. So given that timeline, yeah, I can't remember exactly what we had running at that time, what other Star Wars shows were running at, you know, the summertime of 2023, but the fact that they said no, we're gonna pass on that, gives you a little pause, gives you a little bit of concern of, you know, how it's been received, or if everything kind of worked exactly how they did. But now that we're, like you said, a year and a half out, and it's going to be almost 2 years essentially by the time it's going to be released, as we will find out later. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that, like, Mandalorian Season 3 and Ahsoka probably pushed the timeline of this show back, that they were really just trying to, you know, get out their major pieces of content. Mandalorian Season 3 came out in April, or I guess first came out even earlier in the year than that, but the last episode of Season 3 came out in April. You know, Ahsoka came out later that year in August, and then it concluded in October, so...
not a lot of time.
Yeah, and then, of course, Acolyte for the past 2 months after that. So I really just think it's a matter of, if you were to stack those four shows up next to each other and say, okay, which one of these is probably going to do the poorest in terms of just marketing value? I mean, it would have to be Skeleton Crew. So maybe that's just what we're dealing with here, a case of, like, this is the one that had to be pushed
keeps getting bumped down the priority list.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, now we have it pretty official. Like, there's in terms of live action Star Wars, there's nothing really on the horizon between now and Christmas time. So now is Skeleton Crew's time to shine, and Hopefully, we get a lot more information in the coming months too.
Until they drop a 4-episode limited series of like Asajj Ventures or something out of nowhere.
I would take that. I'll take a 4-episode limited series of Asajj any day of the week. Just man, that yeah, I would be so down for that. But one of the more recent updates after filming wrapped in January of 2023. Was later that year in April at Celebration Star Wars Celebration Europe, and there was a trailer shown to attendees of the Skeleton Crew panel. To my knowledge, this trailer, at least legally, I didn't go to look for it. I would maybe it's available illegally somewhere. I'm not encouraging people to seek that out by any means, but
I can not confirm or deny such allegations.
I have not seen the trailer. But reports from the trailer of those who witnessed it and from, you know, writers who were present and were able to write about it later after the fact, posit the fact that in the trailer, Jude Law's character uses the Force. Now, when I read this, I was like, wait, what? Because I didn't really see him functioning that way. I mean, he was prior described as sort of the Han Solo character. So maybe I just had him like kind of in that archetype of, you know, gunslinger, ruffian,
smuggler,
yeah. But maybe he's gonna kind of play that archetype, but also be a Jedi at the same time, or you know,
that's
not
a cool
exactly.
One.
Yeah,
that's a different one.
Yeah. Hey, Jude Law is a Jedi. All I'm saying, that makes me excited. That makes me excited for this show. So, you know, obviously the big piece of news that came out of that timeline at Celebration Europe in 2023, April of 2023 was Jude Law's character is Force sensitive. We don't really, I guess, know that he's a Jedi for sure, but he sure looks like he's using the Force in this trailer. So later that year, there was an interview with Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau, of course, being like, you know, the, I don't want to say like the center of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but, you know, responsible for a lot of the success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The counterpart to Dave Filoni and you know, responsible for a lot of the success of The Mandalorian, I would also argue, was doing an interview that came out the next month after Celebration Europe. And the interview focused on, interviewed Favreau on how the kid-focused Skeleton Crew fits into the Star Wars aesthetic. I thought this article was really interesting, too, because it is almost like simultaneously delivering a product that, I mean, it's what we already talked about earlier, just that it is a show about these kids. It's not exactly kid-friendly. How's it going to fit into the overall scope of the Mandoverse? You know, where, I don't know, it might not be quite as like a gritty era as Andor is, but, you know, it's I don't know how it's going to fit in, to be honest with you, because this feels like more of a one-off adventure show and not like something they are looking to tie into the Mandoverse stuff, but just based on the fact that it is in the time period, I would be shocked if they don't make that decision. I mean, I guess that's where we can go with this article. Like, do you feel like that's going to happen with Skeleton Crew? Are we going to see Mando? Are we going to see Grogu? Are we going to see Ahsoka in this show?
I think that since he explicitly mentioned things like aesthetic, mm-hmm. and you know, this is going to feel like Star Wars, I think he's trying to set us up for that, where yes, this feels like Star Wars, like it's almost like this feels like Star Wars, trust me, nudge nudge, you know what I mean, like like if you wait long enough, if you wait till episode 6, you'll see why when Bo-Katan rolls in, or you know, something like that. I think that is, they're not going to create something that just doesn't fit in space and time of especially the Mandoverse. They're trying to build this entire, you know, universe with Mando and Ahsoka and Bo-Katan and everyone, you know, they're trying to build this up. So they wouldn't throw this right in the middle of that same era and have nothing to do with anything. You know, that wouldn't make any sense. So I'm sure there's going to be some tie-ins. I don't know the stakes at hand. I mean, the way that they're presenting this, I would agree, very much a one-off type of thing. But if you've got, you know, one, you have them in this era, this timeline, and two, you have this Force user all of a sudden in the middle of it. You know, it's going to be very difficult to say that they're just going to have this one-off series that has nothing to do with anything that they're building currently. I mean, they're going to have a Grogu Mandalorian movie. They're going to have, you know, they're still continue on seasons with all these shows. So I think that, you know, the intention anyway is going to be that something is going to tie in here or there. There's going to be some type of consequence. Think about like Bad Batch, right? How we were like, oh, this is going to be just a fun little side thing that we're going to enjoy, only to find out that they had all these tie-ins with all these different things, and to bring it back to like cloning. I'm like, that was crazy that they, you know, and Palpatine and everything like that. So the fact that they went down that road, I would assume that there's going to be something very important about either one of the kids or maybe Jude Law's character himself or someone else. That it's just going to be important to the Mandoverse in the whole.
Yeah, the way he basically summarizes sort of his feelings on that, he says, one of the things we really like about what the shows that we've been working on have turned into is that the tone of each episode, and in certain cases, each series, really reflects the storyteller of the filmmaker. So in the Mando, you could have many different tones, even though the writing is consistent across them. Different filmmakers will bring different perspectives. Each episode will feel different and they can sit alongside one another. We're going to talk just briefly about each of those directors here in a second. But the other interesting thing I wanted to note about this article before we move on is that even this article, which was released, this interview done by Entertainment Weekly interviewing Jon Favreau, released in May of 2023, the article concludes with, we will be seeing Skeleton Crew later this year.
So even at that time.
Right. Yeah. Even at that time, you know, with, when they were almost halfway through 2023, the thinking was still, this is going to be something we get that year. So, you know, again, it's just interesting to see how here we are in August of 2024, a whole, like, I don't know, 15 months later, and we still don't have it, but it is going to be here. We now know, because it was announced on May 3rd of 2024 this year, just, you know, roughly 3 months ago, that Skeleton Crew, the release date is officially during Christmas 2024 season. This, of course, news was broke originally in an exclusive from Collider, stating that Star Wars Skeleton Crew is coming this Christmas. We still don't have a particular release date for it, but what we do know now, as I alluded to just a moment ago, is the list of directors for this show is one that is reason to be excited. We've got some awesome, awesome directors in line for these episodes. The show will contain 8 episodes, be directed by the likes of people like John Watts, who was responsible for Spider-Man Homecoming and the co-creator of this show, Skeleton Crew. Also, Daniel Kwan and Daniel, I'm going to mess the name up, Scheinert, I believe is the way it's pronounced, who are the Oscar-winning directors of Everything Everywhere All at Once, which, by the way,
that's such a good movie.
I watched it for the first time like 3 months ago, and my mind was blown. I was like, this movie is so, it's probably the best case of any movie I've ever seen, of it being so different that it's good, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah, that's great. That's a great way to put it.
Like, it does not fit into any box. It is just the most wild movie, and in all the best kind of ways. If you've never seen it before, that probably is an awful description. But if you've
once
seen
you do
it,
see it, yeah, you'll know what we're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. Small plug for Everything Everywhere All at Once if you haven't seen it. So the directors of that show will be on for at least one or two, probably one episode of Skeleton Crew. David Lowry, who is the director of Peter Pan and Wendy. I actually haven't seen that movie yet. Have you seen it either?
No.
I've honestly don't know much about him, but I'm probably going to watch Peter Pan and Wendy now just to sort of get a sense of that style, especially before whichever week's episode of Skeleton Crew he's scheduled to direct. Jake Shire, who's the director of Robot and Frank and Beef. This is admittedly for me the only other director on this list who I wasn't familiar with. I'm ashamed to admit I don't know what Robot and Frank and Beef is.
Same.
But so that's gonna have to be another one that I look up and do a little bit of research on prior to Skeleton Crew. But of course, these last two names of directors of episodes are going to be very familiar to fans of The Mandalorian. Excited to share that Bryce Dallas Howard is going to be back directing an episode. Hopefully, man, she has some of the best episodes of The Mandalorian. I am hopeful she directs like the first episode of Skeleton Crew.
And
maybe like the climactic episode.
Or even like, episode 7.
Yes, episode 7 or 8 or, probably 7. That would be even better. But so wonderful director in that regard. And then Lee Isaac Chung, who is also a veteran of the Mandalorian series. And so, so here we, in total, we've got at least 6 episodes with at least these 6, or I guess kind of 7 if you include both the directors of Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I would think, judging from this list, maybe John Watts, because he's the co-creator of the show, will end up being one on this list who directs more than one episode, if I had to guess. But great director in his own regard, too. I mean, Spider-Man Homecoming was one of my, in the past, I guess, 6-7 years of Marvel films, for as much as it feels like they've declined, Spider-Man Homecoming kind of is one of those films that didn't feel that way for me, at least. So anyways, all that to say, a pretty stacked, exciting list of directors to look forward to that we'll be getting in charge of each of these episodes of Skeleton Crew that we'll be getting just in about 4 months' time or so. So the only other piece of real news surrounding Skeleton Crew that we have received since then came just weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. This was from the Bespin Bulletin, who, if you're kind of on Star Wars online world, you'll probably be familiar with the Bespin Bulletin. And if you're not, they release these articles that a lot of times they'll have insider scoops. And this, statement released by the Bespin Bulletin on their Twitter page said that, according to The Roka Says, another Star Wars content creator, that Skeleton Crew is not being received well at Lucasfilm, which echoes similar sentiments that had been previously made, and that, these are things that potentially have been heard for a while by the folks at the Bespin Bulletin, and then concluding the statement asking people to keep their expectations in check, which is something we kind of talked about earlier in the podcast. Right. This is interesting to me because I don't know what to make of this, because we just watched The Acolyte, a show which, I mean, I'm not an executive at Lucasfilm, but if I would have watched The Acolyte like 2 months ago, I probably would have been like, here's some things that we could probably be concerned about, so the fact that we didn't get anything like that before The Acolyte, but we're getting stuff like that before Skeleton Crew, mm-hmm. does that mean it's actually good because Lucasfilm people are out of touch? Or does that mean it's really bad because it's like, it's so bad that they noticed this and they didn't notice some of the more negative things about The Acolyte? So I don't know. What do you think?
The big thing that, we've talked about is they wrapped filming a year and a half ago. And you have this, potential, kind of scoop where they're saying Lucasfilms isn't completely high on it. Kind of makes sense if that's the case, if that's, and especially if the report was, they had been hearing this long ago. So it lines up with the narrative. Of course, with these types of things, it's much easier to put these, you have these two facts that it's been out for a year and, it's been done for a year and a half, and now Lucasfilms doesn't exactly like it. So it's easy to kind of put those together and say, okay, yeah, this is the reason why, is that actually true? I guess we'll see. But to what you're saying, what does this mean as far, because executives, I could see being out of touch just in general, any company anywhere across the world, just kind of not being in touch with either their consumers or the industry as a whole. But especially something like Star Wars, something like entertainment, maybe they are just out of touch in that case. So does that mean, is that good or is that bad for people like you, like me, it's a great question. Who knows if we have a shot at it being actually better. I mean, and I think the best thing about this particular tweet is, yes, keep your expectations in check. We have to be able to say, okay, this is not, you know, this is not going to be exactly what we all want. But I think this actually leads us great into the last question here, is, you know, the division that the Acolyte really did to the fandom. You know, what does this do for this release of the Skeleton Crew, right? Because now we know that, you know, there are kind of these polar opposite sides of the fandom that, you know, either really like it or really didn't like Acolyte. So as a fandom as a whole, does that really bring the temperature down for everyone for Skeleton Crew? You know, was it, you know, strategic that they, you know, that they released Acolyte knowing that they were going, this is like conspiracy theory now stuff here, you know, that they knew Acolyte was not going to perform well, maybe divide the Star Wars fandom. And now here's a little cute Skeleton Crew, you know, with four kids, with, you know, all of this. So maybe that's the play. That's like, you know, but, you know, great question is, what does this do? I mean, personally for me, Acolyte really did bring expectations kind of lower and lower as the time went along. Now that we're going to be a few months away from Skeleton Crew, I'm just going to say, I'm just going to, whatever, you know, it's Star Wars, it's fine, you know. I'm back to that. Whereas something like Andor did something, you know, that was something that I just definitely didn't ask for, but the production was so good, and kind of like what you were saying earlier, it like completely, you know, went over any expectations that we had for it because we didn't really have any expectations. So maybe this is what Skeleton Crew is going to do too.
Yeah, I'm down for that conspiracy theory that the Acolyte was just Disney's long con to lower the expectations of Star Wars fans for everything that comes out after the fact. No, but I think there's something to be said for that. That I think the sentiment surrounding the reception of Skeleton Crew, I think it's probably going to be a little bit more positive. I just think people are, the stakes feel so much lower that it's like, you know, I think people are going to feel like, okay, even if this wasn't like high stakes, lightsaber battles, you know, craziness happening, there's no Sith, there might be Jedi. I guess there could, you know, be Jedi theoretically with a Force user being involved, but just the stakes feel lower. And I think that sets the show up for more success because it's not going to maybe upset some of the fandom in a way that the Acolyte did. So I'm just going out there, even though there's some thoughts being, you know, passed around that, you know, the folks at Lucasfilm aren't happy with the way Skeleton Crew is currently, I still feel pretty positive about the show. I don't think that deters me too much about how it's going to do. So let us know down in the comments or on the socials of today's episode. What do you think of the Skeleton Crew? What are your expectations for it? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be even worse than the Acolyte? Let us know your thoughts on the video version of the podcast or on any of the socials as well. And judging from the fact that we are about to hit the 52 minute mark, I wouldn't say that too bad. Final time for this episode is probably going to be more so around 55 minutes. So, on next week, yeah, we gave it a good shot, but hey, we got the bulk of it in before the 52 minute mark. I'll take it. We're excited for next week's episode of the podcast, episode 92, where we'll be returning to another draft format. I think this is the fourth draft we've done. If you haven't checked out our Jedi draft, our Sith draft, or our Droid draft, those are all available in podcast format or in video format. On YouTube under the drafts playlist. But next week on episode 92, we will be drafting the Disney Star Wars live action show characters. So everything from Ahsoka to Boba Fett, to Mandalorian, to Obi-Wan Kenobi, to the Acolyte, and the one show that's escaping my mind at the moment. What am I leaving out? The Acolyte, Mandalorian.
Obi-Wan, did you say Obi-Wan?
Obi-Wan, I think I said Obi-Wan. We'll have six shows to choose. Andor, there we go. Yeah. From those six shows, we will be selecting our favorite live-action characters. So check us out next week, and let us know in next week's episode who your favorite five live-action Disney Plus TV show characters are. Having said all of that, we want to give you a final reminder once again that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast, check us out on YouTube for the video version of the podcast, as well as all of our latest reactions to the Star Wars episodes as they come out, including our recent reactions to each episode of The Acolyte. Thank you to the 446 of you who are YouTube subscribers as we continue that climb towards 500. You can contact us at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. The Hoth Hangout podcast is findable wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms, or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it does also allow it to be more easily discovered by other people who love Star Wars as well. You can find us on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. We are at Hoth Hangout on each of those. Finally, the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server will be available down in the show notes of today's episode. Check it out and see all that it has to offer. Joey, any last final thoughts on the Skeleton Crew, your hopes, your expectations for it as it approaches in just about 4 months' time?
Not sure exactly what to expect from it. I expect you and I to talk about it at length every week, but I'm not waiting for it necessarily. I'm just going to be like, all right, when it comes here, it'll come here. I'm not, you know, I definitely had more excitement going into The Acolyte than I will have going into Skeleton Crew. But in the meantime, you and I are going to have a lot of fun figuring out what to talk about week after week on the Star Wars podcast. And so we do appreciate, of course, everybody jumping along for the ride with all of us. And yeah, this is fun because we finally just we don't have to talk about one show week after week, you know, for the next couple months at least.
Yeah, it's kind of the fun ebbs and flows that we've slowly discovered as part of podcasting. It's like you'll talk about one thing for like 2 months and then you're like, you have all these ideas. You're like, oh, we can't do those right now. And then there's this off period where there's no shows. You're like, oh, my gosh, we have to like come up with all these ideas for episodes and stuff like that. So it's definitely one of those off periods. But, you know, I think in many ways I get just as much joy out of the off periods when there's no Star Wars, just because it's like coming up with fun stuff to do for episodes like our Disney Star Wars live action show character draft next week. So looking forward to that. Excited to do it here with you and Gibbo. And Mitch, speaking of Gibbo, thank you to Gibbo for producing today's show, video, and assets, who is worth more to Hoth Hangout than any $175,000 Star Wars costume. shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. And shout out to Jude Law, you know, really looking forward to seeing my guy.
Bring it home, Jude.
Bring it home. Looking forward to seeing him in some Star Wars very soon. Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Hope to catch you all in episode 92 of the pod, drafting our live action Disney Star Wars show characters. And until then, once again, hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for listening to this episode. And until next time, may the Force be with you.